Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The scriptures for this weekend speak to us about fear. And so it begs the question, what are we afraid of? Now we all have different fears. Fear of heights, fear of darkness, fear of water. Maybe a better question we have to ask ourselves, what is our greatest fear? Because when we really ask that question, we tend to order our life around that fear so it doesn't take place or happen. If you read biographies of people, especially famous and great people, you find out what their greatest fear is and you see how those individuals ordered their life around that fear so that it wouldn't happen or come true. Great example of this is our founding fathers, people like Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington. They all shared one great fear, and that was the loss of the political and economic liberties of our country, those same liberties that made those individuals very wealthy people and made our nation prosperous. And so the founding fathers, their lives were ordered around that one fear, which is why we fought the Revolutionary War, and why that during the war and even afterwards, people like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson went to countries like Spain, Portugal, Germany, Italy, and eventually England to establish treaties to protect our economic and political liberties. You know, fast forward a few decades later, Abraham Lincoln. What was his greatest fear? The American Union breaking up. And so this is why Lincoln fought the Civil War, to preserve the Union. And even after the war, when the Northern states wanted to extract revenge for the Southern states' secession, Lincoln would have nothing to it. He always would preach, you know, malice towards no one and charity towards all, again, to keep the Union intact. And so sometimes fear can be a powerful and motivating force. I'll give you a simple analogy. Say, for example, your family maybe has a history of, say, cardiac disease. You know of cousins, aunts, uncles, maybe family members, brothers, sisters, who have come down with heart attacks or strokes or some sort of cardiac disease. So you know that runs through your family. And so your fear is that you have a risk of coming down with some cardiac disease yourself. So what do? You order your life around that fear, such that what? Now you're exercising every day, you're eating a better diet, you're watching your cholesterol, you have an annual physical. And so you do these things to prevent that fear from occurring. Now apply that to the spiritual life. Saint Ignatius of Antioch, when arrested and awaiting for his own martyrdom, once said, "I do not fear the loss of my life, but instead I fear the loss of Jesus Christ in my life." And so, if we have a fear of that loss of Christ in our life, then we order our life around that fear so it doesn't take place. Now, with that in mind, turn to that first reading from Jeremiah. Well, what's going on right now? Well, the people essentially are against Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is afraid of them. You know, the people have been criticizing Jeremiah. They are angry with him, and now they've had enough. They see him as a threat, and now they want to kill him. Now, is Jeremiah afraid? You bet. We would all be. Now, Jeremiah is simply being a good prophet. He's doing exactly what God told him to do, preach the word of God, preach the truth. And yet the people don't want to hear the truth, nor do they want to respond or act to the truth. The Israelites right now are falling into idolatry. They're no longer following God's will. They're following their own will. They're no longer living by God's commandments, instead their own laws. And so Jeremiah is preaching against that. He's telling the Israelites that essentially they have to come back to God. They have to, you know, provide God with right praise and right worship. They have to follow the commandments, you know, and adhere to the covenant that they made with God. So the Israelites, they don't want to hear any of this stuff because they don't want to do that. They don't want to change. So they've had enough with Jeremiah, and now they seek his life. And so we hear in that beginning of the first reading that Jeremiah is telling us how afraid he is, that people are coming in from all sides to try and get him, but he won't stop. He's faithful and loyal to the Lord. And worse yet, he starts preaching about the corruption in Israel. And not just the political corruption amongst the kings of Israel, but the religious establishment. Here, the religious establishment, their purpose is to draw people to God. Instead, they're drawing people away from God. And so Jeremiah is attacking them, that corruption. Well, again, the people, they don't want to hear any of this. And so they've had enough of Jeremiah. But notice what Jeremiah says. He says, "The Lord is with me. Like a mighty champion, my persecutors will not triumph over me." And so, yes, Jeremiah is afraid. But he has an even greater fear, which is the loss of friendship with God. And therefore, his life is ordered to that. And that gives him the courage and the conviction to continue to remain faithful to God and to preach the truth. Better yet, he knows that the Lord is his champion, and the Lord will never leave him. Now, that's a great segue into the gospel. Remember last week, Jesus, he has recruited his 12 apostles, handpicked. Now, this week, he sends them out on mission. Notice the very thing he says to them, his piece of advice, you could say. He says, "Fear no one." See, Jesus knows that the apostles are going to face the same trials that Jeremiah faced. They're going to go out and they're going to be loyal to God and preach the truth to the Israelites. And guess what? The Israelites are not going to want to hear the truth. And so the apostles, they too will be criticized. You know, the Israelites will be angered by the apostles and what they're saying to the Israelites, you know, to go back to God, repent. And eventually, the Israelites will have enough of the apostles, just like Jeremiah. And they will seek the apostles' life. And we see that in history. Many of the apostles were systematically hunted down and killed just because of their love for God. And yet they were not afraid. You know, look at St. Paul. St. Paul's ministry lasted about 25 years. He spent half that time in Roman prisons for doing something what we do every weekend, which is worshiping and praising God. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 11, Paul basically categorizes or catalogs all the hardships that he faced, how he was beaten with rods, almost stoned to death, whipped. You know, he went through such trials. See, St. Paul, as well as the apostles, they endured all those trials because their life was organized around the love of Jesus Christ. And just like Jeremiah, the apostles knew that Jesus Christ was their champion and he would never leave them. And so with that love for Jesus Christ, their whole life was ordered around that. Therefore, they were able to continue on despite the many hardships, despite the threats on their life. They never gave up. And that's because their whole life was ordered around their love for Jesus Christ. You know, if you look at the first 3 centuries of our church, the church, you know, suffered terrible persecutions. You know, tens of thousands of Christians were put to death, martyred. You have popes that were assassinated. And so our church persevered because those people, you know, their lives were ordered around their love for Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, we too must follow the example of the apostles and Jeremiah. Our life must be ordered around the love of Jesus Christ. And this is the reason why we go to Mass every weekend. We pray every day. We pray the devotions, the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, This is the reason why we engage a life of stewardship, sharing our skills and abilities, our prayers and our prosperity. This is why we live the virtuous life, patience, prudence, kindness, charity, forgiveness. See, we do all these things because our life is ordered around our love for Jesus Christ. And yes, just like the apostles in Jeremiah, Jesus Christ is our champion. Now, we, just like the apostles in Jeremiah, we are going to be criticized. In fact, we probably have been or are being criticized right here, right now. You know, in this day and age, we're criticized as Catholics for our belief in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, for our belief that, you know, we have to go to a priest to have our sins forgiven. More to it, people criticize us and even are angry with us on our belief in the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. So yes, we will face that too. But guess what? We listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Just as he said to the apostles, "Fear no one," so Jesus tells that to us now. Fear no one. In fact, we have nothing to fear in this world because we have a champion in our life. And his name is Jesus Christ. And we believe, you know, that our love, you know, is ordered around Jesus Christ. Therefore, he will never leave us. In fact, he will guide us and protect us in this world and better yet, in the world to come. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.